Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hello, you guys. It is me, Troy McEady. I just wanted to pop in before this week's episode to let you know that this is going to be a two-part episode. So in the first part, in both parts, I'm joined by my friend Zach, who you all know very well at this point, and we are having an intensely deep discussion about The View, one of my favorite shows of all time, my favorite girl group, famously. And we, of course, talked for so long. The show has been on for a million years. Zach and I are both very passionate about The View, and this conversation went on for 2 hours. So I decided to split it up. You're going to get the second half next week. And yeah, I just wanted to pop in and say hi and that I love you. And this is a really great conversation. So enjoy me and Zach. Okay, bye. Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady. You guys, welcome back to whatever episode this is of Dunzo. It is me, Troy McEady. And I have family here today. I feel like I can let my hair down. My top button's unbuttoned. Like, I feel very swaddled, comfortable, and safe. Zach is back.
Hello. I feel very comfortable as well. My titties are out. I have little diamond emojis over each nipple. You know, I am ready, but I'm little, you know, I'm covered, but I'm ready.
Zach has the tiniest emojis ever on his private parts. They're
You guys could see him. I wish you guys could see him. You know, I just show up like this to different recordings.
He's actually right now rolling around on the beach naked. Right?
Yeah. So there's some guy looking at me. I'm not sure who he is, but who do you think that was? Was that her bodyguard?
I don't know. He was extremely creepy. He was extremely creepy. Oh my god, your cup.
Oh yeah. I got a
I haven't seen it in person.
Yeah, because we're covering The View today.
Troy got me
a mug that says The View. He got me an Alistair one, so yeah, gotta use that.
The View season one mugs, just so we're all clear.
It's gotta be season one.
Speaking of, we're doing something really fun today, something I've always wanted to do in some form, and I can't believe that I'm finally doing it. Zach and I had a discussion in Chicago, a drunk discussion, because Zach came to the Beyond the Blind show for Chicago, and we started talking, well, actually, Alistair as well, we all started talking about The View, and, like, I didn't know that you guys were big View heads.
He is not. So, okay. Alistair is not huge on pop culture like we are. And when he deployed, I forced him to read this fucking book with me because it had just come out. And so I forced him to read Ladies Who Punch, and he read it and he got really into it. So I think when he was talking to you, he didn't know any other pop culture to talk about. And so he started talking about the only thing he knew. He's like, do you know, have you ever heard of the The Barbara Walters. You ever heard of a Barbara Walters?
As I'm like, I have an interrogation light on him. I'm like, Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie
O'Donnell. What do you know about Whoopi Goldberg? Tell me everything you know.
I'm like, Rosie loved that show more than anybody. Second to Barbara. I was like losing my shit. But we are talking about The View today. And I mean, we both are under the assumption that this will probably be two parts because we both are very passionate about our love of this show. Mm-hmm. I always tell people it's my favorite girl group.
Yeah. I used to, as a kid, I would gather my friends and make a little panel trying to be The View. this was very my shit.
Zach said, I had this idea for a show.
You didn't open it like that. You should have opened it like that.
I forgot.
So if you're counting, yeah, well, that's two ideas I've had.
I like your Barbara. Oh my god. Wait, so tell me how you got into this show. I mean, I know we were obviously both like literal children, but
it must have been, I don't remember which panel it was that I started watching on, but it was, I was into any sort of daytime TV that my mom was into, because that's anything she would watch and have on the TV. I was a little fag baby who fell in love with all of it. So Oprah, I loved The View. I loved General Hospital, you know, all of it. Did you watch The Fire? Did you like The Fire, like, series on General Hospital when, like, the hotel went up in flames? Oh, my gosh. I was obsessed. But I would always miss, like, the first 20 minutes of it because I'd have to be shuttled home from school because I had to go to school. I can't just watch General Hospital.
That whole thing.
And The View was one of those when I'd stay home. I'd start off my day watching Charmed or Angel on TNT, switch over to The View, then switch over to little HGTV and wait for everybody to come home. So
you're like a little Trading Spaces and little The View.
Well, every little bit of daytime TV. What about you?
Exact same, honestly. Mm-hmm. I was raised by TV as a kid. Yeah. Having a single mom. And yeah, I loved daytime television. I loved soap operas, these like The View, like the morning talk shows and like cooking shows were in our mm-hmm. family a lot. Yeah. Specifically like the PBS cooking shows, like the local I loved The View. And I want to say the earliest panel I remember was Lisa Ling.
Mm-hmm. It might have been that one for me too, because what was that? That was around 2000. It must have been 2001, 2002, 2003-ish.
Yeah. Like Lisa to me, when I think about like the pop star era of The View, like mm-hmm. NSYNC and like 98 Degrees and Britney and like all of those people, that was like the era of them all going on. And I just remember like Lisa Ling was the youngest, so they always would like pass questions off, make her ask questions, and she didn't give a fuck about these people.
Yeah she did. She I think even in the book they state that she like was using it as her stepping stone. When they called her in to fire her, she was like, I'm okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to move on to Oprah's Our America.
Totally. She's like, I've literally been in Afghanistan. I don't care.
I'm not worried about this. Yeah, I think maybe that was, because I do remember Lisa Ling. I remember watching her, but I think it's like when the transition phase between Lisa Ling and Elizabeth Hasselbeck came on. I think that's mm-hmm. when I really started paying attention. And then when Rosie came on, I was like obsessed. I used to make sure I could watch it as anywhere I could, because you couldn't really like search clips on YouTube all that much. You know, there weren't that mm-hmm. many clips there. I mean, it's a good show.
It's
lasted a couple seasons.
Yeah, it's proven itself or whatever. You know, I just think, when you look back at like, especially if you guys listening haven't read Ladies Who Punch, Zach and I just finished it again. I've already read it. Zach's already read it. It is so good. It's like, you'll easily finish it in like a couple days. Cause it's, you can't stop.
Did you read it or did you listen to it?
Oh, I listened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the narrator, it's the guy who wrote the book, right? He narrated mm-hmm. it. Okay. So he does a really good job too. Yeah. And this book, I have to say, was even better than the second time that I listened through it than the first time. Like, it just got so much better, you know? And I oftentimes listen to books and sometimes will zone out at certain points. I didn't zone out like at all throughout this entire book. It is great gossip.
Yeah, if I ever did find myself zoning out, I was like, I rewound a lot.
Yeah.
I found myself going back and being like, wait, I missed like a sentence. Like it's really insane.
Did you, has your mom read it?
I don't think she has. I told her to read it, but I don't think she has.
Yeah. Whenever The View was on, did you have conversations with your mom about like what the topics were and stuff like that? Or was it like separate stuff? Because I don't think I ever had conversations with my mom about anything we watched together. I think we just... like, I don't know, if there was a sex scene on General Hospital, we just like didn't mention it, you know, or if like they were talking about anything on The View, we just didn't talk about it.
Right. I don't remember us talking about the topics, but I definitely remember. So one of the interesting things that they talk about, well, that he talks about in the book, is that The View could be considered the first reality show.
Ooh,
and that it was like sort of run like a reality show, like before we had that concept. And I remember in my family, we would talk about like the girls, like we would make fun of Star a lot because we just thought Star was like absurd. And, you know, we loved making fun of Barbara. Like Barbara's always been a big inside joke in my family. So, yeah, we would talk about like the sort of like surface level catty shit that you know, it's the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know, where do we start? Barbara? Yeah. And my notes say Barbara Begins.
let's start with Barbara.
Barbara Walters is a shining figure in our news society or news culture. You know, she really did have to climb up through the ranks through men and all of that. You know, she had a lot of advantages, right? Like she was white, she was blonde, she was, you know, she was very ambitious also. Mm-hmm. Like she was ready to put other things to the side in order to advance her own career. And I think a lot of people took note of that, and she was very likable. But Barbara Walters is pretty problematic in and of herself. You know, she's sidelined a lot of careers to get where she is too. She also did. You know?
Yeah. Whenever I think about Barbara, I feel the same way. Like I just have some, I talk about her a lot on this podcast that I can't believe we don't have a Barbara Walters type figure anymore. I mean, we have Oprah, but that's like kind of it. There's no like, you know, it's 8 p.m. and it's Wednesday and you're turning on 2020 to watch Barbara. Like, it's just, you know,
with her the filter that smooths her skin to the gods, you know.
Oh, my God.
It is the brightest filter you'll ever see, but she made sure that shit was on her throughout the entire fucking interview, you know.
She was 75 going on 12 years old, honestly. But I do have a love-hate relationship with Barbara, because I just think not only was Barbara like ruthless and very cutthroat while she was still working, but like, it's like she had this incredible idea. She made this amazing show. She was a trailblazer, but she was also so like stuck in like a specific time.
Oh, yes. And,
you know, like her way of viewing like celebrity and stuff was just so problematic at a certain point, even like 10 years before we were like woke as a society. She was still at that point saying shit that I was just like, whoa, like Barbara is a mess.
Yeah. I think she probably still is. I mean, she's dealing with a lot of like, you know, aging illnesses, right? Like, I don't remember if it's Alzheimer's or dementia, but she has one of them. But even up until she quit The View, or she left The View, she still had a really dated mindset as far as like interview topics and as far as, you know, the way you see celebrity and don't show emotion. And she always wanted everybody to, this is one of the like the funniest parts that I think I've taken from the book, is that she always wanted everybody to be so personal and give their personal lives. But if they did too much, then she kind of recoiled, because she wasn't raised, you know, to give up that much personal information. And then if they asked any personal information from her, then she, like it was a no-go, you know. You didn't ask that of Barbara Walters. So I think she, I don't know. I just like, I have a love-hate relationship with Barbara, because I do really like her interview style. I like watching her give an interview. And then when I listen to the questions and the things that she says, it's sometimes really hard to listen to, right? She seems so homely and so like comforting and warm while she's giving an interview, but then you listen to her and it's not correlating.
Yeah. There's a moment in the book where she, I don't remember the exact scenario. You may know what I'm talking about, but it's like, she is pretending to be really sweet. And then the person she's talking to realizes like, oh my God, I'm being Barbara Walters right now. She's like luring me in and coming off as really down to earth and whatever. And then she's like, whispering in my ear some crazy manipulative shit. You know what I mean? That's so Barbara. But I do think, like, one of the things I'm the most grateful for when it comes to her is that she was the first interviewer, the news person, to really pull back the curtain on, like,
celebrity. Yes. She gets all of her flowers. I hold none of her flowers back from her. She can go into the sunlight really proud of her career because she really did pull that back, that curtain. And she asked those blunt questions that, like, nobody else would have dared to ask. This woman back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, whenever she was interviewing, is she's going and interviewing Castro, you know, Fidel Castro, and like, crazy. I was watching some of her highlight reels back. Do you remember when, back in 2016, when she retired, or 2015, one of those years, and they did like 50 million goodbye specials for Barbara, but they did one where they like did a highlight reel basically for an hour long of all of her interviews. And she was so good. Like, I had never actually watched her Monica Lewinsky interview. I just, like, seen bits and pieces and heard about it. And, like, I knew it. It was in my pop culture, like, you know, lexicon. But I'd never watched it. And I watched it. And she is, like, a pro. She is really good.
Yeah, she's incredible. She's incredible. Yeah. And she, you know, the cool thing about her being, I guess we can kind of get into her creating The View and stuff, and like her as a person who was such a big part of this show. The cool thing about her being a part of it was that she gave it this, like, I don't know, like, this, it had like a different air around it because Barbara had such an A-list Rolodex.
Yes.
So it's like, this is a show that nobody has faith in when it premieres, and they all kind of think we'll get canceled. And it's like this really weird concept, and it's being run like this weird, like, reality show, like, so, like, you know, like,
women around a table talking about the news. Women don't have opinions about the news. What are you talking about? Barbara Walters, the A-list Barbara Walters. What?
Right. It was like,
a big deal that she was doing it too, right? Like, that's why they didn't even want her on. So when she was on it, she was never technically like a full-time cast member because they didn't want her A-list status being brought down to this TV level, you know?
Right. Let's talk about the first. So should we do this in like little chunks?
Let's do it in little chunks. Where are you going next?
I want to talk about the first, like, I guess, I don't know, the first, like, 5 years of The Table. Okay. Like, that first portion of The View as a TV show.
Do you want to start with the first episode? Because I watched it back, and
I freaking
loved it. It was great.
Tell me everything.
There's one shining moment in this very first episode. It's Meredith Vieira, Star Jones, to the left of her, then Debbie Matenopoulos. Am I saying her name right? I feel I grew up with her. Debbie Matenopoulos.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. And then Barbara Walters at the other end of the table. Joy Behar was not there yet. She was hired, but she just wasn't available yet for this first episode. And there's one shining moment during that first episode where they ask, I guess this is around the Bill Clinton thing with Monica Lewinsky. And they ask, should Bill Clinton's affair affect how we see him as a leader? And everybody went through the table, and it was just really good, all of the differing opinions. And that is the moment that I saw. I was like, I get it. I get why this show was like gonna be a hit. It was destined to be a hit. You know, you have Star Jones saying it shouldn't affect how we see him as a leader. You know, what he's doing on his own time, that's between him, Monica, and his wife. I don't want to know about that. I want to know what he's doing about taxes and such like that. And then you have Meredith Vieira like, nope, I don't agree. I don't like that, you know, this is happening. And then you have Debbie agreeing with Star. It was just a magical moment. It's on YouTube. The first episode is on YouTube. So I would highly suggest everybody going and watching it because it was really good. And I totally got the dynamic that they were going for.
Yeah, and one of the things that makes me really, really happy about the book is that he stresses that pretty much every news show on TV right now has in some way pulled from The View.
Yeah.
Whether it's being at a table full of people or the way that they do Hot Topics or whatever, like every successful news show to come after The View has taken at least some bit of it.
Yeah.
And it just is. It's a show that will never get the praise that it deserves, ever, I don't think, for being so fucking prolific in all of the firsts.
I think if it ends, I think it will, but it's going to be one of those things where we have to be removed from it to really appreciate what it was. Because we're kind of in the thick of it now, and it's kind of, people are looking at it as like an aging celebrity. Like, why are you here? Why are you still doing this? Why are you, you know? And it's when we're removed from that, that we can actually appreciate it. And they, like, it starts out so cheesy too. It's like so cheesy. And they have like a newspaper. They're going real literal with like the breakfast table women talk, you know, they have a newspaper and they're like, topics from the newspaper. And
they have like, I do remember that there's like mums plants all around their feet. Yes. Like that was like a really good thing. The table, like all their feet were hidden by big house plants.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I would consider, tell me if you think I'm wrong, I would consider the first cluster to be Meredith, Star, Debbie, Joy, Barbara, and Lisa. I would, because that's the first 5 years.
Yeah. Was Lisa wasn't on with Debbie though. They weren't on at the same time, right? I think Debbie got fired after season two. Okay. So I'm not super familiar with this original panel, right? Okay. And I'm like, a little bit familiar. I'm like familiar with like Lisa Ling's way out and her transition to Elizabeth Hasselbeck. But going back and watching all of these interviews, it's just such a lighter dynamic. It's a lot lighter, especially in the first couple seasons. It does get a little bit uncomfortable during times because what we had Meredith as the moderator, we had Star Jones as this like high powered attorney coming in and doing, you know, giving her smart woman opinions. You have Barbara as like the legacy A-lister who's bringing this sort of star power to it. And you have Joy, who was the comedian. And then you have Debbie. And so I want to talk about Debbie for a second because Debbie,
let's get into Debbie.
We grew up with Debbie on like what? Like entertainment news, right? Like she really catapulted from here into entertainment news. But Debbie came fresh from college and I didn't realize she was this young. I was so shocked to hear that she was 22 years old when she started The View. Like what? I'm 27 now. I couldn't imagine being on that panel, you know?
That blew my mind. It made me feel, the book really does, I think, give Debbie a beautiful like moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really made me sympathize with her a lot. And I really understood her perspective and like, you know, just the way that she was fucking ripped apart and tormented by the country. I mean, she was literally, I was young, but I remember Debbie being a laughingstock. Like, I just remember that being like a common, like, you know, like sort of joke that she was just dumb and that everybody would call her stupid.
Because she was young and fresh out of college and on this show where they're giving opinions about politics and celebrities and all that. Because also going back to Barbara just for a moment is one of the things that Barbara really was good with was mixing politics and celebrity. I remember in her interviews and that special about her interviews is they mentioned that you didn't mix those two. Those were not two topics that you ever mixed. You did one or the other. You didn't do both. And The View was both, right? And so you bring Debbie into this and she's supposed to be the young voice. She's supposed to be giving the commentary on all of the pop culture stuff, right? But then she's also having to give political opinions and whatever they're asking of her, right? So you can't just expect that she's going to be the brightest bulb, you know, among the group. And I think the way she was ripped apart was very unfair. Barbara often would like belittle her on like in front of everybody and like silence her or like, you know, hush her. And if she was like talking and giving opinions and it became such like a laughingstock that it was like a Saturday Night Live sketch, right? That Barbara would be like, shut up, Debbie, shut up. You know,
I can like physically in my mind right now, I can see Barbara putting her hand out to tell her to stop. And you know,
when, it's because it was Barbara on tape. It is on tape, right?
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, that was really a lot. I mean, I was thinking about myself like at 22 going on this show to talk about like the president, like about policies and stuff. Like, it's just, they really set her up for failure. I guess they just didn't know how to use her. I think that if she had come on the show years later, she would have been an incredible asset because she was actually really funny and quick. Mm-hmm. There's a moment in the book where they talk about like one of her high points where I guess like the reason she got hired officially, maybe, it correct me when I'm if I'm wrong, I feel like I'm fucking this up, but she had said that thing about Madonna.
Okay, yeah,
that they were like, who it was like something like a question that would lead to like a profound answer, like Gandhi. And her answer was Madonna. And that was the moment that they were like, oh, she's like kind of like iconic.
Yeah. But it's like, I wish they would have seen her as that, right? I wish they would have like accepted that and used her in that way. Because obviously when you're 22, you're not going to like eloquently put all of your the way you feel. And obviously like when you're 22, you're fucking stupid. I think about my 22-year-old self and I'm fucking dumb. And she's back then, you know, they're asking her questions about like, say this Bill Clinton one. She's never been married. She's talking about this 40-something-year-old dude who's like been in a relationship for however long and like how that goes with like a relationship. And they're asking her about a long-term relationship. And she's like, well, if I had a husband, this, this, and this. And she sounds dumb saying it because like it's life experience that she doesn't have. And what they should have done is just given her, let her really shine on the topics where her life experience is utilized and useful, right? But I don't think they did that often. They expected her to like know the entire sphere.
Yeah, I agree with that. They really just kind of fed her to the sharks and then would watch her drown and then blame her for drowning. Like it was really...
And so when she's giving an answer about Madonna, that's how she's relating it to this topic you're asking her about. But then she, you know, you're... You would look down on her for bringing up somebody who's more relevant to her own age at the moment.
Can we talk about Meredith?
Yeah. I don't know much about Meredith outside of The View. I have to be honest. Okay.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think most people would say that unless they like watched the... That wasn't shame.
Outside of The View and outside of Mal Hour, but you know, it's like...
I mean, that's...
Don't know much about her.
You know what I mean? Like they say in the book, everybody, that it's like the mob. If you're on The View, it's what you're known for.
Even
Barbara. I was obsessed with Meredith Vieira.
Really?
Like, oh, I was in like, I think I had a straight crush. I'm not even kidding. Okay. I just thought she was so smart, so funny. To this day, I think she's the best moderator that they've ever had.
Do you think?
Hands down. I just think she was incredible because the thing about Meredith that was so cool was that she had the air of like a serious journalist. So she had like a Barbara quality about her. So she could like handle really serious things so well, but she was fucking funny and had a really dry, cutting, quick sense of humor. She like didn't take herself seriously. She really like towed the line, I think, perfect to be the moderator.
I think that's one of my favorite qualities about her is that her humor is really good. It's really quick, right? She's really good at that. And it's interesting that they would parallel her on the table with Barbara, sitting across from Barbara, because across all of the panels, I would say that she was the most like Barbara. And still very different, you know, and she was gorgeous. She was gorgeous sitting on that panel. Yeah. She was like she was early 30s when she started this, right? I think they remarked that she'd been married to her husband 10 years when on the first episode. And so she was like early 30s, you know, she had that really good mindset where she's lived a little bit of life. She knows how to expound upon that. And then she has a lot more life to live. She was in a really sweet spot. And she was just fucking good at like her journalism. She was really good at hosting. And so it's no wonder she went on to have the career that she does have, you know?
Yeah.
What is she doing now? Is she still, where is she at?
Yeah. Let's look that up because let's like support Meredith today, you guys.
And she did. I had no idea that she did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
So she did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire because she wanted more money, right? She wanted more money at some point for The View. And they said, okay, well, we'll give you a second job and you can make double your salary, right? And so she got Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. They just pass around these people at the ABC offices. They just give them all the jobs, don't they?
I know. And it's so funny when you read books like this and you'll hear them talk about like how like Kelly Ripa used to smoke cigarettes in the back of their studio, like just little things like that.
So good.
But yeah, so
she's the host of 25 Words or Less right now. I have no idea what the fuck that is. It's a game show. But then she did everybody remembers her from the Today Show from 2006 to 2011. That's where I remember Meredith Vieira.
Yeah. And she's great on that too. Like she's just such a good TV personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we do Star?
Okay, I have a lot to say about Star. Okay. I am obsessed with Star. Star Jones is fucking iconic. She's the most iconic one in this whole bunch. Okay, like I fucking love her. I remember her, my earliest memories of her were from the Payless commercials, right? So like that's I knew Star Jones, but I didn't realize that she was like this high-powered attorney. She basically already acted when she came onto The View, she was already acting like she'd been hosting The View or like some high-profile entertainment show for 25 years. She called her apartment the penthouse, even though it wasn't on the top floor. When you go into her apartment, and her apartment was not bigger than anybody else's apartment in her building, but she called it the penthouse. When you go into her apartment, she has the biggest portrait of herself. And then she has like three TV screens in her room. And there, I think the book says that she thought she was like Brian Williams or something, that she was, you know, watching all of this content for her job. I love people who act like they've already made it before. I mean, she's already made it, but I'm talking about Preview, you know?
Yes.
Preview. And she's already acting like she's big star of The View. And I fucking love people like that, because that's how you get somewhere, is you fake it till you make it.
Well, in a lot of ways, Star was ahead of her time.
Yeah.
Like, in so many ways, because Star, to me, just operated like a reality TV star. Do you know what I mean? Like, she acted like a real housewife. Like, a lot of the stuff that we thought was so crazy about Star Jones back in the day is actually looking back. And I think that was really like, I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about the wedding. Mm. But I think like a lot of her section of the book was this look back at like how big of a deal we made Star.
Yeah.
Or how controversial she was as a public figure. And now a lot of the stuff that she was doing, everybody does.
So weird too, right? Like, she really, if we do want to think of The View as a reality TV show, and she's the reality star of this TV show, she did exactly what reality stars do, is you take your little bit of fame that you have, your little bit of notoriety that you have in front of everybody. And again, high profile attorney, she already had that, but I'm talking about The View. And she took that and she used it as a launching pad to get into all these other businesses. She turned Star Jones into an enterprise, you know? Yep. She got the Payless deal. She got she was everywhere. She just was everywhere. When she got married, that was such a big deal that they had to make endless coverage about her
oh my God.
Wedding details on The View, you know? And I went back and I watched as much as I could find of it. And it is, I fully understand how Barbara Walters was jealous right here, right? It's because Meredith Vieira was getting that same sort of star power, just in a quieter way, quiet enough for Barbara Walters to accept that and be like, okay, Star Jones was a celebrity, and Barbara Walters did not like that.
Do you think, so like my take on Star's like moment or whatever during of that show was that I feel like Star ruined her career when she wouldn't be honest about the weight loss. Like, I kind of think she wasn't able to, because if you think about how Star was perceived at the beginning,
yeah,
like, so in this first version of The View, this first kind of cluster that we're in with the original girls, she was literally like the rock of the show. Like, she was the entry level person on the show, like the person that if you had never seen it, it's likely you would relate to Star.
Yeah,
like,
but Star, you know, was listed as this like non-threatening, the non-threatening one, right? She was the rock, but she was the non-threatening rock who was sitting next to everybody and like just the book very specifically like remarks on that she was non-threatening. And when she went and had that surgery and started losing all the weight, that all of a sudden she was competition for everybody else. I just don't see that. Like, I understand that. Like, so I guess her weight was the way that they could keep her in her place, right? Like, she was still she was still becoming a celebrity, but they could keep her in her place because she was the big girl at the table, is what they said. And then when she started not to be the big girl, they can, that's something to tear her down for, right? Because then she's coming for their spaces. And it's insane because I can't say specifically if her not being honest about that surgery hurt her career, because I just, I wasn't living through it consciously enough. I was very focused on Britney Spears, but I was not focused on Star Jones at that time. I just was not. But like, I look back on it, especially through the lens of somebody in 2022, and she didn't fucking owe that to anybody. She didn't owe it to anybody. She wanted, her big insecurity was that none of her diets had ever worked. She tried to lose this weight, you know, without surgery. It just didn't work. And then when she had the surgery, she was not sure if it was even going to work. So why get on a national platform, tell everybody you had the surgery, and then if it doesn't work, then what? You're going to be the laughing stock anyway, you know? So she was damned if she did, damned if she didn't. And I think a big thing was going back to like how Barbara like wasn't always super personal with her own life. Mm-hmm. They all of the co-hosts really wanted Star to be open about that surgery. They really wanted her to be. And she was confused. She was like, well, Barbara's been having plastic surgery at the fucking wazoo. Why doesn't she talk about that? And it's like, obviously, everybody had their little bit that they didn't want to share with the world. And I don't think Star had to share that with the world. And she eventually did. She eventually did. Yeah. So it's like, what was the reason, I guess, for tearing her down because she wasn't being honest about it? Because I bet if she had been honest about that surgery, she still would have been torn down, probably even worse, you know?
Well, I think if you think about the time period, and I think that they say in the book that at the time, the only person like publicly that people knew had had gastric bypass was like Al Roker. Mm-hmm.
And I don't fucking remember that either. So like, I don't know.
Well, Al had the surgery and everybody like, and like, you know, later, like Randy Jackson. I mean, there was like a small number of people that like would talk about it. Mm-hmm. But they say like, you know, Al was like a man. So of course he could go on TV and be like, hey, I had weight loss surgery. And people would be like, cool.
Yeah.
Amazing. But like with Star, there was so much more surrounding it. And I think because her approval rating was so high, I think they said in the first 5 years, she consistently had a higher approval rating, or she was second to Oprah as the second most popular Black woman on television.
Really?
And like to go from that and being like the trusted one, the one that everybody loves, to then having this big thing that everybody's talking about, and the way I think the press didn't help. I mean, they really she really got like killed for not being honest about it. And I
for think having a moment of vanity, like, I know. Like nobody else fucking has that.
I know. And it's sad when they describe too, like the moments where she did get like really, when she was her biggest, and like, you know, the sound room had to like turn her microphone down because she was like wheezing into the microphone, or they would turn it off when she was walking because they didn't want people to hear. So it's like, it's just the pomp and circumstance surrounding just like her body is so like triggering to read.
Yeah, it was. And it must be, had to have been triggering for her to fucking live, you know, like imagine that much of, like you're one of the biggest celebrities in the country, but this one thing is your weight, whether it's up, down, whether you had surgery or not, is the one thing that people are going to use. That's the rope they're going to use to pull you down, right?
Right.
Like how triggering is that? How, and imagine how that shapes your mindset going forward, and what secrets you would keep, what not, you know?
Yeah.
That's a conversation that the panel probably could have had. Is her and her surgery, Barbara and her fucking surgeries, you know, like surgery and vanity being okay to make yourself feel better about yourself, right? Like accept yourself, but also if there's something you want to fucking change, then do it. You know, if absolutely. I wanted, I would totally go out and get a nose job. And I'm not scared to say that to anybody, you know, it's like, if I had the money to just go out and get a fucking $15,000 nose job, I absolutely would. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's like, it's you wanting to feel better about yourself, you know. I think there's also something to be said about like really examining why you want to feel better about yourself in that way. But Star didn't fucking owe that to anybody. She didn't. Yeah. She didn't owe the cameras in her hospital room as she's recovering or anything. But it was this big, like, poorly kept secret. But like, you know, producers were helping her off the stage after the surgery because she was, you know, so injured. And then all her co-hosts being mad that she wouldn't talk about it, or you know, all the news running with it, and she just wouldn't admit to it, right? And I think that's what damned her more than anything, is that she just wouldn't cop to it and admit that she did it.
Right. I think that you're right. That's what it was. It wasn't anything outside of the fact that there was already so much, there was a circus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she was basically walking out on stage every day with like, you know, with an elephant, literally walking out with like a pink elephant on a rope and not talking about it, you know? But I think the nail in her coffin, the official thing that killed her, was the wedding. I mean,
we talk about overexposure, right?
I mean, for a woman who already had this, like, people already perceived her as being kind of obnoxious, just in general. And then she goes on to have, like, a fucking Celine Dion times 20 wedding. I mean, can we talk about the wedding?
How long was she married to him for? Let me see. Let me go look that one up real
quick. Like 2 weeks.
And then don't the mean fact to laugh that at been... that. I'm sorry. But, like, we saw that one fucking going. Come on now.
Well, then the fact that she's about to marry this man that the entire country thinks is a homosexual. There's just, Star was so polarizing.
That was the other big joke, right? It's like all of the sketches would have her coming in as Star Jones and whatever caricature Star Jones was, but this gay husband, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, I remember seeing that a lot. So she was married to him from 2004 to 2008, about 4 years.
Yeah, he was, that was like, and even in the book, they talk about all the people behind her back being like, well, he's gay.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on? I will be honest, I remember the SponCon wedding shit, but I didn't really remember, like, I didn't know any of the logistics behind it and why it was happening and, you know, how this person, like, the other girls were being told that they weren't allowed to accept freebies, and this technically wasn't a freebie because the network had agreed to it and all this crazy shit that went into it.
Yeah.
That ended up making her look really bad, yeah. You know, but there was way more to it.
Yeah, she took all of it. the book says she took everything. Her and who was it with her? It was somebody else with her that took everything too, that they like offered up. I don't remember.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she was with somebody, but then she like had to give the statements like, you know, everybody got freebies sometimes. It's okay.
Yeah. That was insane though. I mean, she literally basically took over the show. Mm. Like every day they would give her a segment to talk about what she had gotten for free for the wedding.
So more than 30 corporate sponsors donated wedding attire and merchandise for the event in exchange for mentions in the media and on Jones's website. Because remember, she's not only using The View, she's also talking about all of her wedding details outside of The View, magazines, other TV interviews, everything, right? Like she is the definition of overexposed at this time. And that absolutely hurt her, no doubt.
Yeah, it was bad. The wedding stuff was really, I mean, even at that time, I was a big Star head, but I remember during the wedding stuff being like, girl.
Yeah.
This is like kind of crazy. Like,
it's a little much, but you know what? Even whether she knew he was fucking gay or not, is he gay? Was that ever?
I don't know if he ever came out or anything.
Yeah, so we won't say that. We won't say that. But I wonder if she ever had any doubts or anything like that, or if she was pulling that Kim Kardashian, Chris Humphries thing, and she wanted the wedding, she wanted the star power, she wanted everything that would come from that big wedding.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think Star was like wanting the event and the stuff and she the dress doesn't. And you know. But I mean, the cool thing, I guess, and she, of course, makes it a point to say in the book a bunch of times that, you know, this wedding was because of all of this, the circus surrounding this wedding, it did become the event of the year. Like, it was the biggest celebrity event of the entire year. Yeah. Like every famous person wanted a ticket to Star's wedding. And it was absurd. And she made it a point to say that, you know, all of these different people stole her ideas. What did she say? Like, who was it? Was it Donald Trump that had the same wedding as her?
I think so. I think that might have been it. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I can't really pin down who exactly that was. But like, she was also, it's something to be said that she was also, speaking of celebrities all wanting to go to her wedding, she was very good at public relations as well. And it does mention in the book that she was fantastic. She did the Barbara thing, right? Where she would, or not the Barbara thing, but like Barbara had a very like arm's length with celebrities that she would interview and stuff like that. She became friends with some people, but she kept them at an arm's length at the same time. Star would invite people in, and Star was very much about creating these relationships with all of these other celebrities and positioning herself in the celebrity culture, especially like with people like Michael Douglas, I think is who they mentioned. And that whole wedding, she was really good at everything she did. I think Star Jones was just an expert at this business in this industry, and I think the only downside was that she overexposed herself, because after Debbie was fired, Star was the next one that left, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to talk about how she left?
Let's talk about
the icon star Jones.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Tinder. You matched, chatted, vibe checked. Now it's time to meet IRL. So what's stopping you? Tinder is making dating safer and easier with their excellent safety features. Like Share My Date, the best way to let your friends know your plans. While Moonlight allows you to discreetly call emergency services. And Are You Sure will prompt people to think twice before sending a potentially harmful message. Explore all of the possibilities for yourself. It starts with a swipe. Download Tinder today.
Why was she being fired? Do you remember what they say in the book?
REI Co-op has everything for camping, glamping, scampering, and whatever they're doing. Cannonball! Relaxing, axing, waxing.
I'm sorry, what?
REI waxes your skis, man.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay.
Biking, hiking, and whatever outdoor thing rhymes with hiking. You get it. REI Co-op is the place for gear, clothing, classes, and advice. For the million and one ways to opt outside.
She was difficult. I mean, they at a certain point, Barbara was like, okay, like, I did agree to this, but this is absurd. Like, it was like a full-on jump the shark moment where she really had taken the show and turned it into, like, Say Yes to the Dress. I mean, it was
oh my God, it was,
right? I mean, it was like no news.
It
no
was every TLC wedding show that you could think of. Say Yes to the Dress. It was four weddings. It was everything. And she did them all at the same time. I do think Star was incredibly difficult. Everybody said that, you know, even on her first day that people were scared to look her in the eye, you know, that she was very specific about.
And she became mean.
Yeah. Too. Which came with ego. And that's something we're going to see with everybody throughout this entire thing, is everybody's ego ended up playing some role in how they entered the show or how they left the show, you know?
Right.
And Star's ego definitely got the best of her. And at one point, I think she upstaged Barbara so much, because I think this is why she left. I think that she pissed Barbara off enough that Barbara wanted her out of the fucking show. She wanted her off the fucking show and she was going to go. Star catches wind of this, and Star, in turn, pulls the biggest boss bitch move I've ever fucking seen. And I have listened to this. So I've only listened to the book two times through. I've listened to this chapter at least 10 times. It is amazing to me. It is so good.
It is great.
She goes on a secret media blitz tour, doing an article talking about why she needed to leave The View, why she, you know, needed to spread her wings and all of any address it. She is forming the narrative. She is making sure that she has control of whatever narrative is going to go out. She catches wind of when they're going to fire her. And I think it's either the day of or the day before, or like very close to when they're going to fire her. And nobody on the panel knows. They start filming and she goes fucking rogue. And you can watch this. It's on YouTube. Everybody, if you've not seen this, go to Star Jones Quits on YouTube. And she grabs Barbara by the hand. And you can see Barbara's face loses all colors. She's like fucking livid. She grabs, you know, whoever's next to her by the hand, and she says, after much prayer and much counsel, very, like, so smooth talking, very clear, very calm. She's like, I think I need to leave The View for other opportunities. Like, completely taking control of that narrative. These magazines and these publications that are supposed to release this information have a gag order until she says these words, that they're not allowed to release their article until she officially announces it. She does it, and everything is released at the exact same time. And there's nothing that anybody at The View can do except come on the next day, and Barbara comes on, and then there were three.
Literally what she said, quote. Also, we have to mention that she hired the real Olivia Pope. Can we talk?
How did I even not lead with that fucking information? Like, okay, Olivia Pope, the fixer. The fixer.
She hired Olivia Pope to plan a grand exit. And it's like, and it was amazing because it was in such star fashion. Like, it was so theatrical, over the top, but it was like very well thought out. And like, she's a lawyer and she knows all the things. So there's like nothing that anybody could do.
You were not going to pull one over on her. No way.
No, she would never let that happen. And to pull a fast one on Barbara, you really have to be a tough bitch, because Barbara is very quick, very smart, and always knows what's going on.
You just see her face on that. You see her face on the moment Star Jones is announcing her exit, because it was agreed upon between Star and everybody that they were going to announce it in a specific way at a specific time, and Star went completely outside of that and did something different. But this is the thing you'll notice about this show and the history of this show, is they have really shady ways of firing everybody. And really like fucked up ways of luring everybody they're going to fire into a sense of security, because it seems like everybody knows when they're going to kind of get fired. They feel it. They feel the heat on their back, on the back of their neck. And they say, oh, am I going to get fired? Just tell me, am I going to get fired? And producers would be like, no, you're fine. Executives would be like, no, you're fine. You're okay. Don't worry about it. And then they get pulled into an office like Debbie and fucking head cut off, you know? And Star wasn't going to let that happen.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I feel like it's very similar to like the Real Housewives, the way that they'll say like, you're allowed to go out and paint your own narrative. So if you want to go out and tell people that you're leaving because you want to be close to your family, or you want to take time to not work or whatever, you can. But like, pretty much everybody gets fired.
Everybody gets fired, and you can, I'm doing air quotes, paint your own narrative, but whoever's on that show will, the Barbara Walters, much as I love her, will make sure the real story gets out into the tabloids and the gossip, so that everybody knows the actual story, that you were fired, you were difficult, you were whatever, right? So you can have your own narrative out there, but the people on that show are going to be the ones to give the real narrative, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Barbara always has the last word, unless you're Star Jones.
Star Jones was the only one Barbara could not get, you know? The only one.
Let's talk about last but definitely not least. Let's talk about fucking Joy Behar. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Joy Behar. Oh my God.
So what? Who cares? I don't know. So what?
Who cares?
What do you think about Joy Behar?
Joy has been the apple of my eye since I was a kid. She's the light of my life. Like, she honestly just is so like, Joy is like such a nurturing presence at this point, because she's been on the show since the beginning.
Yeah.
And even just like the sound of her voice to me is like calming. Like, I just adore her. I love Joy. And I always loved that Joy didn't take shit from Barbara.
Yeah.
That has always been so fun to watch. Like, she always calls her lady, and she always says like, I'm not afraid of her. I'm not afraid of Barbara. She always says that.
You don't see any stories in this book of like Joy being intimidated by Barbara or being put in her place by Barbara. Barbara didn't even fucking try with Joy Behar, right? He said, let the funny woman tell her jokes.
Don't interrupt Joy.
She was so fucking Elizabeth at one point. It was fucking hilarious. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna fall off my chair.
I love this show so much. I could do this for 20 more hours.
This is a fucking, I need an Andy Cohen reunion special for each fucking panel. We need to get that. Joy Behar is really like warm and funny. She does fucking get on my nerves. She like grates me sometimes with some of the things she says, right? I won't say specifics because I don't want to get into like political discussion, but I don't know. I think she is one of those ladies that's like super far left, right? And I'm one of those people who believes that, like, if you're seeing things as far left or far right, you're seeing in black and white, and
right.
The world is not like that. The world is just not like that. And Joy is very much like that.
She is. She's intense.
Yeah. So it does get me on that front, but like, I fucking love Joy and I'm so glad she was only gone for like, what, 2 years? Like they fired her ass. They fucking Shady fired her ass too. After, when was that? When did she get fired? 2016.
The dark period.
Yeah, because she wasn't on with Jenny McCarthy, was she?
I don't think so. I don't believe. No, she wasn't. Because have I ever told you that I got tickets to a taping of The View?
Did you fucking really? Did you go to?
Of course.
Oh my gosh. What panel was it?
Well, the funny thing is it was the worst panel and probably one of the worst shows in the history of the show. So it's like, did I really go to The View? I don't know. It was Jenny.
Yeah.
But it was like Barbara was still there. So I did get to see Barbara. That's all I really cared about. I just wanted to see Barbara and Whoopi in person.
Yeah.
And they were both there. Joy wasn't there. And that was really painful.
Yeah. Joy was on from 1997 until 2013. And then they let her ass go along with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. They did a double firing and they like totally like, I don't remember which one it was, but somebody was like, you know what? That might've been Jenny and Sherry who was like, I'm not going in that fucking office. Like somebody said that, but I think Joy and Elizabeth knew it was coming, but were being completely told they were fine. It was okay. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. And then fucking chopped, you know? And then they realized they needed Joy. You know, Joy was one of those stabilizing presence that even maybe Barbara wasn't even as stabilizing of a presence as Joy was, right? And so Joy gets brought back in 2015, and she's been on it ever since.
Yeah, I would say when it comes to Joy, the really interesting thing about her is that if you go back to season one all the way up to now, she plays, no matter what the chemistry is between the group, Joy has the same role.
Yeah,
like she plays the same part no matter what. She's like so sure of who she is on that show. She can't be rattled, really.
Yeah,
you know, like her reason for being there is so clear, and she always delivers.
And nobody has had a lot of contention with Joy except for, it seems, Meghan McCain. Mm-hmm. I think Meghan McCain was the only one that Joy absolutely fucking hated. And like Meghan McCain would come on there and be like, oh, me and Joy, we love each other. And Joy's like, no, we fucking don't. I really don't fucking hate you. Okay. Even Elizabeth Hasselbeck, Joy like loves Elizabeth Hasselbeck, you know?
Yeah.
I think Meghan McCain was the only one that fucking got on Joy's fucking nerves. But yeah, Joy's a good one. Joy's a good one. So we kind of shift panels from here, right? Okay, so we are transitioning from Lisa Ling. Lisa Ling was great. She knew she was only on this show for a specific amount of time. And when she got let go, there was no hard feelings about that, right? She kind of announced that she was going on to move on to other projects. We kind of move on. I fucking love Lisa Ling, by the way, but she wasn't the reality star of this show, you know?
Right.
They needed a conservative voice. And so they bring in Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is... I want to know what you think about Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
So, I have the most thoughts about Elizabeth.
Okay.
Because Elizabeth is so interesting. When you look back at, first of all, one of the things that I love in the book that they make sure to point out about Elizabeth is that she came onto the show. I want to start with early Elizabeth.
Oh, I fucking love it. I love it. And her season is one of my favorites.
Okay. Like the look for less Elizabeth. Okay.
They announce her in the book as shoe designer Elizabeth. Or like, Elizabeth like Franchowski or whatever the fuck her last name was before she got
Franchowski. So Elizabeth came onto this show as this, like, first of all, it was at the time insane that a reality star could get a gig like this. Like, she went on a crazy press tour just as the reality star girl who got a gig on The View. And that was like, you know, she, like, Letterman had her on and Lin on. They were like, how did you get, this is crazy. And at the time it was like, we were introduced to her as this girl who was conservative, who was a Republican, but also like a human person.
Yeah.
Like Elizabeth at the beginning was like very normal. And they make it a point in the book to say that she became Bill Getty, the executive producer's mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And like, she really became this like character of like a hateful conservative. Yeah. And like, it's just crazy to watch the switch happen, I guess.
They weren't casting at this point for specific reality star roles. They're not like now they're always looking for that perfect conservative seat. This was mm-hmm. the first time they were ever considering a conservative seat. And they had Elizabeth Hasselbeck because she was so homely and she was so popular. And she was like, she, even before getting considered for The View, she was on a press tour for the fucking Survivor, you know, people mm-hmm. loved her. And she was conservative and she was like out and proud conservative and she was a tough one. You know, but she was still really likable.
Right.
And like you said, she was Bill Getty. She became Bill Getty's like mouthpiece. It's like, I think this is another case of like egos getting everybody. Everybody gets an ego as soon as they get on the show and they start getting popular, because she was pretty popular with conservatives. And I think she still is. I think if she came back, this is the conservative type that they do need. Like sans ego.
Yeah,
because she did a good job at what she was there to do, whether you agreed with her or not. She did a fantastic job as the conservative seat.
Oh, for sure. I mean, she did such a good job as the conservative on that show that however many years later, they're still trying to find a way to get Elizabeth's energy back.
It's the Elizabeth Hasselbeck seat.
It
like
is.
Meghan McCain cannot shut up about fucking Elizabeth Hasselbeck and like how she's filling her seat. It's so hard to fill her seat. And but like, that is her seat. That is the name on the chair. And that is who everybody is going in to sort of try to emulate. She just was the perfect type for that seat. And you know what was like, I remember, see, this is like the panel that I remember now. It's like when in my earliest consciousness it was Rosie, Joy, Sherry, Elizabeth, and Barbara. That's like really when I started like understanding what they were saying too.
Right.
And she, I always looked to like, I mean, there's the thing, the pretty privilege is absolutely a thing, you know. Elizabeth was gorgeous. And so as a young gay kid, I was looking at Elizabeth, seeing this very gorgeous woman. And just wanting her to, like, I would want to be the person that she likes, right? And then she's saying these things that, you know, kind of hit at my own identity. And as I'm growing up and, you know, figuring out my own identity, I'm remembering the things I always, with every milestone I hit with my own, like, sexuality or any type of my part of my identity, I always, some reason, reverted back to like something that Elizabeth would say. Like when the gay marriage topic came up, she said, well, that's not part of the Bible, but you know, I'm also thinking love is love. And so she was very outspoken about like that she was a Christian first and foremost. You know, she was not, you know, she was very conservative first and foremost. She wasn't a big supporter of Barack Obama, you know? And I think they knew that she was going to fill a role like that she was going to be the pretty blonde girl that everybody kind of like swooned over because she was so charming and she was like well-spoken, and she would be on that seat and whatever she said was going to cultivate this audience and make people think a certain way. And I think Bill Getty absolutely knew that.
Yeah, I think that you are 1000% right, because they even say in the book that her approval rating amongst all viewers, not even just the people that she was catering to, but her approval rating was like through the roof for the first few years of the show. And they said, like, you know, like you said, not only was it because she was like charming and all those things, but she was also like really fucking beautiful. And they said in the book that people used to like watching the show because she was still sort of related to being on that like fashion on the Look for Less, and they liked seeing what she would wear. Like, I remember Elizabeth's wardrobe being a major focal point. And even like the girls sometimes would talk about like what Elizabeth was wearing. And it's just so crazy that those first few years of Elizabeth, she became so horrific. And it's crazy that that's even the same person, like that doe-eyed sort of very innocent looking girl at the beginning who becomes like Cruella De Vil at the end. Like by the time she left, she was a monster.
Yeah, because she had become the celebrity conservative mouthpiece. And so now when I think about, you know, think back to like the things she was saying and stuff, I'm like, oh, you poor little gaby, thinking she was so pretty, because like she was against everything that you are, you know, that your whole person. She even, like, I remember very specifically, and this clip is probably on YouTube, but she was very outspoken that she was not for gay marriage in the term sense, right? Like she wanted gay marriage not to be called gay marriage because marriage is in the Bible, you know, man and a woman. And she very much believed that. She's like, you have a civil union. You can have a civil union, but you can't. And I think back on that and I'm like, the being in that seat, she did have a lot of power. And I wonder how many other people were listening to that. And also their perspectives were being changed by this pretty girl, well-spoken, saying things like this, you know?
Mm-hmm, 1,000%. Yeah. And she, oh God, I could go on about Elizabeth for fucking days. Like, cause it's just like, I think about the first time I ever saw her. I remember being really young and seeing her on David Letterman. And he had her on the show as the Survivor girl. And she was doing a press tour because she was like the talk of the town. And everybody wanted to get the interview with Elizabeth Hasselbeck, the cute girl from the reality show. Because it was season two, right?
Yeah.
Or three?
Season two, Debbie left. Or after season two, Debbie left. Survivor. Then Lisa Lane came. Oh, Survivor. Oh, goodness. I don't know what season that was.
Okay. It was maybe two or three, like early Survivor.
Yeah. Second season. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, everything that she was doing was so like unheard of, you know, and I just, it's like crazy to think that, like you said, that there was ever a time when I like really liked her a lot. Like, yeah. That's so weird that I would, as a kid, sit down and watch her and be like, she's great. Yeah. She's like telling me to my face that she fucking hates me.
she's like, you should never get married and you need to be locked away. She's like, you know what? That's my nice thing.
I'm like, but she's so pretty.
Look at her outfit today. Her outfit is amazing today. Look at them curls in her hair. Right.
She's more like, blonde this season.
And that really is how it is. Like you have to also take in mind that they did not cast her just because she's like well-spoken and able to really eloquently like state her political beliefs. They knew she was fucking gorgeous and they knew that was a winner, right? And so, yeah, I mean, we got Elizabeth Hasselbeck. I don't think I like her now, but I think that is still the type of conservative seat. If they're looking for a conservative seat, her name is still on the chair and that's what they need. They either need her back without the ego or they need somebody like her, but they've been trying to find somebody like her, right? So we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but after she left The View, she went to like Fox and Friends, right? Fox News and Friends, whatever the fuck. Right. And that didn't really work out for her. She didn't really have a great time over there either. And she released a book and she has been back to The View and interviewed, and she is held in like such a high regard when she does come back. And like everybody likes her still. But I wonder if she would work back on this panel because she's kind of been humbled a little bit, or if she would come back thinking that she's still hot shit.
I think she would come back thinking like I'm some version of Barbara.
Oh, do you think?
Here. Okay. Yeah, I do. Mm. But you're right though. I mean, it's her seat. Mm. And everybody knows that. And it's so funny that they even sit the person in that seat. Like the conservative always sits in Elizabeth's seat. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also think it's important to say, like, now that we're in this sort of era of The View, I think Elizabeth, and I think that they say this in the book, her being on the show and them finally having the polarizing opinions at the table did usher in the political era.
Absolutely.
Of The View. And they make it a point in the book to say that The View was the first show in history to view politicians as celebrities.
Yes.
And that they basically changed our political landscape and they changed everything that we think about politicians.
The View was the very first daytime talk show to ever have a sitting president come on their show, Barack Obama. It was a big deal. And like, you're absolutely right with that.
You guys, that is the end of part one of my conversation with Zach about The View. I hope that you enjoyed it. Next week, we will get into the Rosie of it all, Rosie versus Elizabeth. We'll talk about Whoopi. It continues and it gets even more intense because Zach and I in the second hour just fully spiral. And so tune in next week. I hope that you enjoyed the first part. I love you very much. Bye. Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.